Chapter 1. As fond of and consumed by my own story as I am, I must admit that it's not too different from most others. Stories are stories, with their beginnings, trappings of middles, and nice, tidy conclusions. I've told so many. It should be second nature to grab a fountain pen, a stack of homemade paper, and add mine to the collection. But here I am hesitating because I cannot make up my mind on where to start. A friend suggested that I begin with the summer prior to the final year of my PhD at Rockhaven University, a few months before I died. By then, I had already been in trouble for quite a while, and my fate was decided, even though I was not yet aware of it. But I'm not convinced. It seems too bold a choice, starting in medias res. All the more because the first lines of this tale were written when I was still an elfin kid with oddly colored hair and a chewing gum addiction. Back then, my main pastime was observing an elderly neighbor dip Kalinsky sable hair brushes into vintage tins of watercolors.
"You are lucky,"
Grace would say in her peeved, cigarette-rough voice, never glancing up from her latest piece.
"That you're no good. Credit card skimming father. Got out of the clink just before your no good fake charity driving mother went back in. Or you'd be in some foster home down in Tullahoma by now. Just you and a box of Crayola. Come here, kid. I'm gonna show you why this layering I just did turned out to be such crap."
I was never a devoted wishful thinker. I refused then, as I do now, to claim that Grace's insistence on teaching me the ins and outs of crackalure, or how to properly clean mildew from leather binding, were vocabulary words in her highly individualized love language. Still, if I'm going to tell my story, she should get some credit for being the first to set me on the path of those who appreciate a certain kind of beauty. So should the judge who made it clear that his eyes were on me and that they were going to stay fixed right there for the foreseeable future. Unless, of course, I cleaned up my act, boosted my grades, and sent out those university applications stat. Honorable mentions, the chemistry of conservation class I chose to take in my second year of college because it was the only non-8 a.m. option. The undergraduate advisor who suggested that if this medieval art stuff was really my thing, he might have a friend at some fancy university up north. The way time and space always seemed to disappear whenever the world shrank to something consumable through my eyes and my hands. That letter Grace left for me to read after she was gone. The handwriting is jagged and sparse as her heart. "I don't have much, but it should be enough for a U-Haul. Now get the hell out of this shithole." So, that's how my story started. There were lots of beginnings, but they coalesced into a perfect storm a few weeks into my first year of grad school, when Mortimer, don't call me Morty McManaman, pulled his best trick out of a top hat and convinced Roxanne, my landlady, to go out with him. Mortimer was a floppy-haired rich boy who loved to introduce himself as a fine arts connoisseur, owned polos in every color of the rainbow, and repeatedly failed at growing an authoritative mustache. Not very likable, although he tried very hard. Sometimes I felt bad for him, and maybe Roxanne did too. Or maybe Mortimer took advantage of her rock-bottom phase. She was, after all, recently separated. Despite her reputation as one of the top gemstone experts in New England, her ability to take commissions had been severely curtailed by having to shoulder most of the care for Rory, her toddler daughter. The ongoing divorce proceedings had been a financial hit, and desperate people tend to do desperate things. Dating a questionable guy was not qualitatively different from plucking a doctoral student from Craigslist and renting her out one spare bedroom. Mortimer may have been less threatening than Roxanne's lying, cheating ex, they were still unlikely to have a future, especially after he started addressing her as kitten halfway through their first date and never wised up.